This is just notes. You don't have notes? You got notes? Everybody have notes? You got notes? I think somehow we got enough notes to build a house with today, I think. So, but anyway, what's your plan for 2010? Accomplishments don't happen by accident. Okay? You're not going to, if you think of it as a building a house or baking a cake, or some of us are have been or will be in the homeschooling environment, or then as a programmer, nothing happens without a plan, okay? Anything that is worthwhile, I can't remember. I need, Lynn, do you have a sample of one?
Yeah.
Because I had to change it a little bit to fit it all right. Thank you. Okay, so there's three things there. Anything that is worthwhile takes time, effort, and a plan. Anything worthwhile takes time, effort, and a plan. That's your three words there. Let's see if I have a quote by MacArthur here. This isn't the same Bible. I have Charles Ryrie's signature, but that is too much. All right. It takes time. John MacArthur said something like, anything that is, it has value takes time. It takes time to raise children. It takes time to build something. It takes time to plan, you know, something. And all of that takes time. You're not going to get instant something and have it be worthwhile. Okay? Anything that is as a value takes time and investment, sometimes your entire life. I've got an acronym here, PLAN. It's kind of a plan to look back and look forward. It's not something new to you, though I spent a lot of time on it to kind of rethink it and redo it. But some of you have seen this before, but maybe you don't remember. That's okay. The first one, the P stands for, need to ponder. What's the word ponder mean? Think about it, yeah. Ponder where you've been. That's looking backwards, okay? So there's the P is underlined. You just add the rest. Ponder. Think about where you've been. It's a good time. And I read somewhere this week, you know, time is somewhat artificial, you know, as far as the way we perceive it. But there's still, I remember disagreeing with that. I think it must have been on the radio or something, because I said, no, because God put the stars and the planets in the heavens for times and seasons. What's a year to us? Why is that arbitrary, or what is a year? Yeah, it's the number of days it takes to circle the sun, right? I mean, it's not arbitrary at all. It's very, very much so that way. What about a day? Yeah, the rotation of the earth, right? In one time around, 24 hours. So, and then everything's broken down incrementally that way. So maybe a minute is artificial. It's an artificial measurement, or an hour or whatever. But it's still, there's time there. But you have to look back. You look back maybe over 2009, or maybe you lift up a little bit and look even farther back. But I think we need to think about where we've been. To start with, 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? Paul is writing this to believers, so I take it as that. It gives you two words, examine and test. And in the faith is the idea, are you walking according to the way God has revealed Himself in His Word, okay? Again, you, as a disciple, you're to take up your cross and follow Christ. That's walking where He goes, doing what He would do. First John 2:6 says something along the lines, he who says he knows him, talking about Jesus, is obligated to walk just as he walked. Okay? So you're looking back, Galatians 6:4, but let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. And the key idea here, again, is we need to just be evaluating regularly how we're doing, what we're doing, and here's some questions here. Where did I succeed? What worked? Okay? What went right? Where did I fail? What went wrong? What didn't work? And again, those are positive and negative questions. They're not intended to be bad or good. But if you can determine how things went, you can say, well, this was a good practice. I can stay with that. Or you can say, you know what? This needs adjustment. This needs eliminated. This needs added. All of those things. So ponder where you've been. Is that a biblical principle? We covered it recently in the very first chapter of the Bible. Yeah, Genesis 1, God saw that it was good. How often did he evaluate? Every day. And then the week, he looked back and saw that everything was good, right? So he looked every day, he evaluated what he had done, and he saw that it was good. Now, that's what God will do, okay? But for us, it might be good or what? Bad or valuable or worthless or whatever. But God evaluated every day, and I believe the pattern, workday pattern of 7 days that we still keep to this day largely, is for us, but also the idea of God's practice of evaluating. There's a pattern there for us to look back on the day and say, okay, how was this day? We need to make short and small adjustments, not just wait 15 years out and say, boy, I wish I would have made course adjustments. I don't know why today's Army Day, I guess, but we had a compass course. It was a primary leadership development course, so into a non-commissioned officer school. We had a compass course, and the first thing we did, we had a practice when we could do it ourselves, and it was swamps and everything. It was, you know, depends on where you're at, just almost impassable. But they gave you a compass, and then they gave you a reading, and somewhere out beyond whatever, I don't know, it's 1,000 meters or whatever, if you followed your path correctly, you would find an ammo box with 2 letters on it, and you would have to record those letters. Now, there's multiple ammo boxes. So if you're off, you go by degrees. You get so many degrees, and you head that direction. If you're off a little bit and you never checked back, the farther you go, the farther away from that, right? It could be a tiny bit. Let me illustrate on the... Okay, you start here. And you're supposed to go this way. Okay, that's the correct way. But say you're just going this way. You're slightly off. But the farther you go out, the farther away you are from where you're supposed to be. So what we did, I'm not saying it was that effective, that's another whole story, but what we did it in teams, and you have to have 2 people that know how to read the compass. I'm not going to say any more. Yeah. Let's just say we did it a lot, and for some reason they didn't switch us, so it didn't help a bit. But we kept checking your course. You go so many paces, because they gave you, here's degrees, here's so many paces. So many feet. You had to measure out your paces to determine feet. But you would aim and have the guy go there. Okay, you stay there, and then now I'm coming and you point me. So we would check every few, however we could go, because it depends on what you were going through to get to the other side. You might have to go this way because of the swamps or whatever.
But you had to keep checking back. And that's what God seems to give us the pattern of in Genesis 1. Keep checking back. That's why He says you're to meditate in the Word of God day and night. All right? It's not a annual review. It's a daily review. You need to be in the Word, and I would say ideally in the morning and the evening. Okay? And we're not talking an hour in the morning, an hour in the evening, but just spend a little time with God, kind of getting marching orders, so to speak, and at the end of the day, review your orders. Okay? On a daily basis, and then even a weekly basis, you're looking back and saying, how did it go? Because otherwise, we're going to live our lives without the Word of God. It's like not even having a direction. Okay? You're just walking around aimlessly. In fact, the Ephesians 5 says, do not be drunk with wine. Is it 18? Wherein is dissipation. Aimless living. That's what dissipation. This is dissipation. Being drunk with wine means you have no plan. Okay? It's ridiculous. It's just like you're living for today. There's no tomorrow in your mind. There's no objective whatsoever. But a lot of us maybe live without an objective. What are we attempting to do? Are we wanting to walk with God? Well, we need to be in the Word of God. And it's a lifestyle. It takes time. Time, effort, and a plan. Okay? And whether it's like, okay, I'm going to read a chapter a day, or I'm going to read through the Bible in a year, or, you know, whatever the case may be, I'm going to study, you know, whatever, something that maybe I'm struggling with or whatever. Whatever the plan is, you got to do that. You have to look back. You have to ponder where you've been. Okay? The L. This kind of ties in here. I need to get my right color here. Learn, you ponder, you think about, you learn, let's say, from spiritual successes and failures, okay? You learn, so there's the P, maybe I should make these a little bigger, huh? I do a lot of writing on the board for FLAP, so we make it a little more interesting. All right? Philippians 4, 11 and 12. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Like Iowa would be a state, Ted. Notice he describes the states or conditions. I know how to be abased. I know how to have absolutely nothing. And I know how to abound. Abound would be having more than I need. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Again, learning from God, learning from spiritual successes and failures, God allows us to go through troubled times, doesn't He? Does God promise you a full belly every day? He doesn't, yeah. Paul says, I know what it's like to be hungry. I know what it's like to be full. Okay? I've learned in both situations. Okay? It's not, that isn't bad. God allows such things to go through, allows us to go through such things for our benefit. Remember Deuteronomy 8, it brings me back to that. It says, he allowed the Israelites to suffer hunger, that they may know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And interestingly enough, Jesus uses that during his temptation when he quotes, when he's being tempted by the devil about make these stones to be turned into bread. And he's like, no, God allows trials and difficulties. That's what we're talking about, learning in that experience. We're not just talking about the Word of God. We're talking about what God has taught us in the midst of our difficulty oftentimes, or in the midst of our one, you know, fullness too at times. 2 Timothy 3:14, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. You're continuing in them. It's not just continuing to know the truth, but continuing to do the truth. You know, I'm on this pattern, and I could just use like reading the Bible as an example. It's a small example because there's a lot more to life than reading the Bible. I think it's an essential component, but it's not the only one. Okay? But reading your Bible, the Bible says you meditate in the Word of God day and night. We're to walk in the truth. We're to be grounded and built up in the faith. We learn the doctrine so we're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. All that helps us to live the truth correctly. But how am I doing? Okay, how are you doing on that? Are you making progress? Now, there was a time in my life, I remember struggling for years. I'd start reading the Bible, and then you get Genesis is doable. Because there's enough chronology, okay? Susie and I were talking about this week. It's like, she says, yeah, I always get stuck in Leviticus. Leviticus just drives me up, or I don't know what she said. You know, and I shared this too. I would start in Matthew, too. It's like, okay, this year I'm going to do New Testament. And I get through Matthew, and I get like 4 or 5 chapters, and it's like, he that perseveres to the end will be saved. What? You know, you get all confused and then you give up on that. So that's why there's a plan. There's a way to do things and there's lots of different options. But you need to be reading through the Bible, even Leviticus, even Matthew and all of those. But you don't necessarily have to start there. Or you can, you know, if you go, you know, I always get stuck in Leviticus. So you can figure out a plan to mitigate that trouble, you know. I'm going to stretch Leviticus out more and read some other scriptures around it, just so it's not so dry. You know, I understand that there's 48 bronze sockets, and but you know, read other stuff so it keeps it interesting for you, or whatever the case might be. But work on it. Why did I succeed? Why did it work out? Okay, why did I fail? What pitfalls would have been avoided? I've shared before, and I don't always do this, but at times I think, okay, when I'm coming home, I know I'm extra hungry. You know, so I nibble something at work. I have some snacks in a drawer or something. That way it just takes the edge off of Dad. So when he gets home, I don't have that to contend with, right? It's just that it takes a little bit of the hunger edge off, like, because, you know, I'm starving because it's probably been like 4 hours since I've eaten or something. Okay, whatever the case, or I've heard of people, you know, driving home from work, and they there's a point where they, you know, this is where I quit thinking about work and I started thinking about home. Okay, because I know that my wife's been home all day, even though she's got good help. It's an ongoing challenge, you know. It's just a lot of work to raise a family and take care of a home and all of that. And I have the easy part. I evacuate every day, you know. What pitfalls could I have avoided? What helped my walk with God? What hurt my walk with God? I think I told that. I mean, I might have shared, but I don't get it anymore. We had cable for a while. It was part of a program we had. But I was watching MASH. You ever watch MASH? It's from a human perspective, it's just hilarious. And I love it's spontaneous comedy. A lot of it was done that way. The problem is, though, it's all cynical. I don't know if you catch it, but it's very political, okay? The anti-gun, and it's very lewd, all the stuff there. But I noticed that you can just watch it. It was funny, and it's considered a family show now and all that. And it's like, you know what? This is not good for me. Okay, because of all the innuendos and they don't show it, but they're sleeping around with the nurses, all this kind of stuff. But also just the cynicism. Hawkeye is a cynic, and what's the other guy, Trapper? And just cynical, and it's amazing. I was sharing it with Valerie. You know, whatever you read, you become to a large degree. And it was just kind of a background thing, but I could feel it affecting me. So that's why it's like, no, you know, this is not going to be me now. Okay? Or even there's certain radio talk show hosts. I don't listen to a lot of radio because I'm not in my car and I can't think at work trying to do that. But there's times when I've listened to people that might be conservative, but they're cynical or they swear or whatever, and it's like it's not been good for me because I start becoming like them. Okay? And so you have to decide what helped my walk with God. That was something. Those are the things, some of the things that were hurting me just in a mental way. Just in a, you know, that's the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and I don't need to sprinkle fertilizer on my heart. Sinful fertilizer, right? Does that make sense? So you have to decide this is bad. And then reading through the Bible this year, the last year I read it in a 2-year cycle. So I finished in 2 years. I read. I went home at the end of our wild party night here, and I read Revelation 21 and 22. I kind of timed it just to finish the end. But this year I'm going to read it in a year because I really think I need that spiritual boost that comes from reading it at a faster pace, and also it requires more time. Okay, so stuff like that. There's lots of things, and that's just a small illustration. There's lots of things. Literally in every area of life that you need to evaluate. So ponder where you've been and then learn from spiritual successes and failures. You know, what are my flashpoints that I, you know, that caused me to fail? How can I mitigate that and allow God to change my life in that area? That's what we need to be asking, okay? Am I vegging in front of a lifeless television that's not going to, when I get to my deathbed or at the judgment seat of Christ, am I going to just be full of trivia that's literally eternally valueless? Or am I going to say, God, I've memorized some of your word. I've shared the gospel with people. I've gone and been helpful to people. How much is not done by the fact that we are simply entertained, right? It doesn't, and it's not even talking about whether it's good or bad, the influence, but simply it just distracts us from the important things, doesn't it? It keeps us from doing what's valuable. So learn from spiritual successes and failures. Number 3 is align your desires. Align your desires with God's desires. Align means to make straighten your desires out with God's, okay? Align here. Straighten out. Okay? Align your desires with God's desires. Again, we've shared before, I believe it was last week, the idea that God doesn't say, okay, what do you want me to do for you? Okay, give me your laundry list. So tell me what you want me to do. It's the other way around. When you pray, pray like this. Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be your name. May your name be my focal point. Not hallowed be Kevin's name and may everything center around me. Hallowed be your name and may everything center around you. Your what? Kingdom come. Not may Kevin's plans come to pass, but may God's kingdom come to pass and may I be one that helps facilitate that. Your will be done, right? Not Kevin's will. When you pray, you're not praying, God, this is what I want you to do. Are you taking notes? Are you writing this down, God? Because, you know, I'm busy. You know, I know you're running everything, but I got things to do, right? It's like, hallowed be your name. May you be the center of my life. May what you want to be done, your ultimate plans be my ultimate plans. And may your will, that might even be the methodology. May what you want done at any specific point in time be what I will do. Okay, that's the way we pray. Align your desires with God's desires. 1 Corinthians 10:31. At what level does this impact us? Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the what? The glory of God. That means that you do it for God and to bring attention to God. And you say, can I eat this right now and bring a glory to God? Is there times when we shouldn't be eating? Jesus fasted for 40 days. If you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Could he do that? It's like, well, that's cheating. Why are you stoned? Why not just make it out of nothing, right? He could have easily made bread out of stones. He made water out of wine, right? Wine out of water. That's what it is, Ted. I remember now. Okay? That's not an issue. The issue is God first. Your will, your kingdom. And it isn't me. Even if I'm starving, I'm not the determining factor. God is. Right? What's the craze today? Healthy, right? Eat healthy. And I'm for eating healthy. We try to eat healthy at our house as much as possible, as long as there's cookies and cake to go with it. But in moderation, right? Right? Anyway, it'll slow down some when it's only guys fending for themselves. Trust me. But, where was I going with that? Food. Yeah, time to eat. I got off on the beaten path, sorry. The brain erased itself. It's a very small hard drive. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Everything needs to be done to the glory of God, even whether you eat or drink. Healthy, yes. Oh, I know where I was going with this. But is being healthy the primary motivation for living? Let me give you an illustration here. Based upon every study that I can read, dying on the cross is unhealthy. Yeah, it'll kill you. Yeah, it's a lousy exercise. Okay. We live in a culture that worships their bodies now. You know, that I saw it more when I was around. I didn't attend, but the exercise places. Again, it's not right or wrong to go to the fitness clubs and stuff. But I guarantee you there were way more people at the fitness club today than there were at church. Okay? Who's being worshipped? They might not think of it as worship, but it's exactly that. What gets the priority? And we are to take up our cross and follow Christ. Whether we live or die, right? It isn't our health, for example, that makes the difference. We have to think differently. Is this financially the best path? The Son of Man doesn't have a place to lay his head. Okay? Now, it's not right or wrong to have money. But it's wrong to serve money, and it's wrong to make the... You should say, God, what will give you the most glory here? Can I do this and glorify you in it? Okay, that's the idea there. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Again, aligning your desires with God's desires. If then you were raised with Christ, raised is past tense, right? If we're saved, we're raised with Him. Be seeking those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. And then literally, be thinking on things above. And notice here what it says. Not on things of the earth. Aren't we quick to say, well, that's not bad, it's okay? By walking with God, we are choosing to think on things and choosing not to think on other things, right? We're seeking certain things, which means we're not seeking other things. I believe Christendom, by and large, doesn't believe this passage. Everything is okay. Everything is fine. Even though it is worldly, in the sense that it's not of God. It's not seeking the above things, thinking the above things. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Isn't that what we do? We set our mind on things on the earth? I mean, we do in every way. Whether it's a sports person, a celebrity, or some possession that we can pursue, or an accomplishment or whatever, isn't that earthly? It doesn't make those inherently wrong, but they become our focus and they become wrong. They become our worship rather than seeking the things which are above, not the things on the earth. It's either or. It can't be both. What principles did I miss? What am I spending my time, effort, and energy on? What is that of God or is that of me? Okay, is God being glorified or am I leaving God out of this? Is it something I should be doing or is something I should be eliminating? Okay, because I can't do it because it consumes me or whatever. What does God say about this? What needs changed? So aligning your desires with God. And this is an annual thing, but also I believe even a daily thing and a weekly thing. The last thing here. I can't do that and make it fatter here. There we go. Nail down specific steps of action. You know, I really need to do more of this, whatever it is, okay? Well, that doesn't help you a whole lot. If Jim farmed that way, he'd never have anything to harvest. But then again, he wouldn't ever harvest because he wouldn't have a plant. All right? He wouldn't say, well, I really need to plant something. Well, that's the first step, right? That's the idea. But what do you have to do if you're going to plant something? Okay, what am I going to plant? Yeah, no, but I'm saying, yeah, different things. But what am I going to plant? Where am I going to plant it? When am I going to plant it? How am I going to plant it? You know, Paul, here's a big bag of seed. See you tonight. Meatloaf, okay? You know, what? You know, when you get back in, meatloaf sounds good. You know, I'll be watching television or whatever. You know what I mean? All of those things. What am I going to use? What's the equipment? Even the idea, too, is I know almost nothing about farming, but Jim plants at least two different crops, soybeans and corn. I know one gets planted for the other. I don't know. I know there's logic, and one gets harvested for the other, usually, kind of stuff like that. But again, it's like, okay, and as far as I know, Jim won't be going home today and planting anything. Why? Because it isn't just, it's timing, but also harvest was a little rough this year because it was wet. So there's all this stuff and it's plans and you have to keep adjusting your plans to do stuff. We have to nail down, I need to pray more. Okay. How is that working for you? You're just saying, I need to plant something, right? Isn't that right? At that point. And if we stop it, hey, I need to plant something, what do we get out of it? We've identified that we need to make this change, we need to do this. This isn't working for me, I need to change. Okay, that's all I've done so far. I've identified maybe the general need, but I haven't done anything. I have to say here, what happens till I stop or start? What am I going to do or stop doing? What areas of my life will I work on? Okay? When, where, how? All of those things. I have to specifically decide what's next. Like, for instance, I need to read my Bible more. Well, that's good. Need to plant something. Okay. Well, I'm going to read every day at least one chapter of my Bible. Okay? That's a more specific plan. Now, what's even more specific than that? Where am I going to start? You know, I'm going to start it in Leviticus. Haggai. Where is Haggai? You know? And I'll figure out where that's at. Okay? Read something I never read before. When am I going to read it? During the day. Okay? I'm going to wait until I'm so exhausted at night that it's like I'm too tired. You know, I scan my eyes over it. Is it reading? And you know, do you know what you read? Can you tell what you read? A time when you can read, all right, very specific idea. And then, you know, are you going to take notes? Any number of specific things. What habits do I stop or start? What areas of my life will I work on and when, where, and how? Is that going to take place? You have to nail down specific steps of action. Listen here. Philippians 4, 6-9. Paul says this, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know, even like that. Okay, I found myself worrying, so I'm going to start praying about what I'm worried about. Like, God, I'm worried about this. I'm going to let you know that so that I don't worry about it. You can worry about it. Okay? And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Paul is this is an example, okay? He's saying, okay, it's maybe sins of the mind, worry and wrong thoughts, okay? And he says, okay, anytime you worry, I'm going to, pray about it and give it over to the Lord. And then also, whatever things are true, just, noble, and so on, praiseworthy, I'm going to meditate on these things. I'm going to factor these in, okay? When I'm thinking about them, then what? I have to go through and think about, okay, is this true? If it's not true, then should I be meditating? And I was talking with Valerie a little bit. It's not wrong to read fiction. It's wrong to be consumed by fiction because it's not what? True. Okay? It's not true. All right? Whatever things are just. There's a lot of books we can read or things that aren't fair. They're not true. They're not just. Are they pure? Are they pure? That's one of the things that MASH kind of canned me on. You know, there's not naked people walking around, but they're talking about that a lot. Okay? And that's just an example. It's hard to turn the TV on anymore, isn't it? Pure, lovely. Not just, it's not bad, but is it lovely? God wants us to pursue excellence, not just stay away from the really bad. Okay, and it says, whatever things are of good report, if there's anything that is good, and there is, and if anything that is praiseworthy, there is, meditate on these things. So we have to we're basically going through and saying, is this good? Is this true? Is this just? Is this pure? Is it of good report? Think on these. If not, what are we doing with those? We're eliminating those from our life, right? Nail down specific steps of action. I have another thing that I won't go into today, but it's the idea is you have to specify and then you occupy. Then you go out and do that. So that's what you need to do. So what's your plan? You ponder where you've been. You look back. You evaluate. You have to evaluate. Otherwise, you're just drifting. You're doing that, aimless living. Learn from spiritual successes and failures. Some things you're good at. Other things you constantly fight. Well, how are you going? What are those things, and how am I going to address those? Align your desires with God. Oftentimes, our struggles are because our will is not aligned to God's will. We're trying to do maybe God in our own way, and that doesn't work. Everything we do should be done for the glory of God, and not everything can be done to the glory of God. Okay, so that's the question we have to ask, and then nail on specific steps of action. Okay, I need to plan. What? When? Where? Why? How? I need to do this. I need to do that. How? What does the Word of God have to say about that? Let's get on that. So, questions or comments? Everything worthwhile takes time, effort, and a plan. Everything. And whether it's your family, your thought life, your efforts, your learning, your work. Whatever it is, that's true in every way. All right? Let's pray, and then we're going to sing a song that's one of the Georgia 12.